From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Keep the altar of private prayer burning. This is the very life of all piety. The sanctuary and family altars borrow their fires here. Therefore, let this burn well. Secret devotion is the very essence, evidence, and barometer of vital and experimental religion. Burn here the fat of your sacrifices. Let your closet seasons be, if possible, regular, frequent, and undisturbed. Effectual prayer availeth much. Have you nothing to pray for? Let us suggest the church, the ministry, your own soul, your children, your relations, your neighbors, your country, and the cause of God and truth throughout the world. Let us examine ourselves on this important matter. Do we engage with lukewarmness in private devotion? Is the fire of devotion burning dimly in our hearts? Do the chariot wheels drag heavily? If so, let us be alarmed at this sign of decay. Let us go with weeping and ask for the spirit of grace and of supplications. Let us set apart special seasons for extraordinary prayer. For if this fire should be smothered beneath the ashes of a worldly conformity, it will dim the fire on the family altar, and lessen our influence both in the church and in the world. The text will also apply to the altar of the heart. This is a golden altar indeed. God loves to see the hearts of His people glowing towards Himself. Let us give to God our hearts, all blazing with love, and seek His grace that the fire may never be quenched. For it will not burn if the Lord does not keep it burning. Many foes will attempt to extinguish it, but if the unseen hand behind the wall pour thereon the sacred oil, it will blaze higher and higher. Let us use texts of Scripture as fuel for our heart's fire. They are live coals. Let us attend sermons, but above all, let us be much alone with Jesus.
Search my heart, O dear Father, on Thee and Thee only. Give me a thirst for Thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving Thee only.
Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. As he continues this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled Old News, New News, Good News. In chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Paul gives one of the best descriptions of the way of salvation to be found in the New Testament, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As Dr. Cairns explains, Paul is talking about a particular kind of faith in this passage. This is not mere assent to historical fact, but a wholehearted reliance upon Christ for salvation. True saving faith accepts the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes to God on His terms with no reservations. It is vital to understand that coming to Christ involves accepting Him as both Savior and Lord. The Bible knows nothing of a salvation that rejects the Lordship of Christ. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
If thou shalt confess Jesus as your Lord, that's the statement here. And I put it to you that by any understanding of the language, if He is not your Lord, He is not your Savior. That's absolutely plain. the confession of the Lordship. But stop and think of it for a minute. Stop and think of this. I would to God that preachers sometimes would get beyond their own rhetoric and just try to apply at least a modicum of common sense. Of course, common sense is the most uncommon thing in the world. But let's say, you say, I believe. For example, the words of Romans chapter 9, verse 5. Christ came who is over all, God blessed forever. I believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God come down to earth as a true man. I believe that he lived the sinless life for me, that he died an atoning death out of love for me, that he rose again the third day from the dead according to the scriptures. I believe that he ascended into heaven. I believe that he's sitting at the right hand of God interceding for me. I believe that my name is inscribed upon the palms of his hand, that it's written upon his heart. I believe all that, and yet I do not crown him my Lord. Can you honestly, possibly, profess such a belief without it having the inevitable consequence? No man has ever caught any glimpse of the greatness and the glory of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus without being prostrated before him to cry like Thomas, my Lord and my God. Here is the confession of faith. But here also is the confidence of saving faith. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Believe in thine heart. You see, the confession is certainly giving wholehearted, unambiguous assent. But the believing from the heart. Now, let me back up here. Now, let me, I should, I suppose, finish the sentence before I back up. Believing from the heart is the confident reposing of our trust in Jesus Christ. Actually, the word confident is simply with faith. The Latin root of the word. The word confide, historically, is very closely related to the idea, therefore, of trust. Don't you do that when you confide in your best friend and say, you'll not say this to anybody else, sure you won't. And of course, before you get home, it's halfway around the world. But you're confiding, by confiding, you're expressing your trust, at least in this detail, in that person. So here is our confidence, it's believing from the heart. Now, there's an awful lot of unnecessary mystery caused about this business of believing from the heart. I've had people come to me and say, I believe, but do I really believe? I believe. But oh, if only I could be sure that I really believe. Because it's only if you really believe that you're saved. This believing from the heart is not talking about really believing versus believing. Because let me tell you, there's only one kind of believing. You either believe or you don't believe. It's as simple as that. This believing from the heart is emphasizing that faith in Jesus Christ This confident abandonment of the soul to Christ is not an intellectual exercise. People who imagine that they would believe if only they had their intellectual scruples satisfied are deceiving themselves. The trouble is not with, and don't misunderstand me to think that I'm saying there's no trouble with the intellect of an unsaved person. There's something wrong with it, obviously. But the trouble is not intellectual. The trouble is heart trouble. The heart is deceitful. What is the heart? It's speaking of the moral nature of the man. Speaking of the will. May I use that word in a Calvinistic church? Yes, I do. Gladly. It's speaking of the will with the affections. And therefore he's saying, if you with an honest will come to Christ, confessing Him as Lord and abandoning your soul to Him for His saving mercy, you shall be saved. And I want to tell you, stop playing mind games. Do I believe? Do I really believe? Come off it. Come off it. I want to tell you, you know whether you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God come down to earth to save sinners or whether you don't. You know whether you have any trust in your own self-righteousness and you're hoping that God will save you through that or whether you don't. You know whether you're willing now, and I use again the word deliberately, whether you are willing here and now to come to God as a very filthy, wretched, hell-deserving sinner and abandon yourself to His mercy and say, Lord, if I perish, let me perish trusting Jesus. But I'll trust Him anyway. You know whether that's so or whether it's not. Because this is the confidence of saving faith. Notice the consequence of saving faith. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now notice the if. That's a conditional statement. If you do this, you'll be saved. Some people take great umbrage at a preacher saying, here's a condition for you. If on the condition you come to Christ, you will be saved. That's what Paul is preaching here. Now, I noted last week, and if you'll just refer back in your memory, I maybe can resurrect this, that Paul was quoting in the previous section from Deuteronomy chapter 12, or chapter 30, verses 12 through 14. And he ended up in verse 8 of our present section quoting Moses' words, that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And then he gave his own commentary, even the word of faith which we preach. Now follow me carefully. He didn't quote all that Moses said. Moses told the Jews, the word is near you in order that ye may do it. In other words, Moses was saying, there is God's revelation, there is God's word, and you can do it. Now, Moses was not teaching the human ability to establish personal righteousness before God. He wasn't teaching legal righteousness. Paul actually says here he's teaching the word of faith which we preach. But what he was doing, as a man who knew the necessity of sovereign grace, he was sweeping away every crutch and kicking out from people every excuse. And he's saying, don't tell me you don't understand what God is saying to you here. Don't tell me this is so recondite or difficult that you cannot possibly understand it. Don't tell me it's as high as the heavens above you or as deep as hell beneath you. This is plain, this is clear, this is simple, this is straightforward. This is the word that's near you. It's in your heart, it's in your mouth. And you can do it. Now, Paul didn't quote that. But he made the same point in a slightly different way, and he reiterates it, if time will permit me to get that far, which I very much doubt. He reiterates it in the next section. If thou shalt confess. Now let's do a little, I should actually step aside, because what would an Irishman be doing trying to give an English lesson to Americans? But let's step back for a little bit. And this shows you the thick-headedness, stiff-neckedness of this Irishman. When I dare to talk church history with all these professors of history, I dare to talk about English with professors of English here. You know, if you know little enough, you don't even know that you don't know, so you just plow on. But even in English, take the little word if. You know, the word if sometimes has the simple meaning of since. It's a simple condition, and it can only mean since this, this, then this. There are times in the Greek New Testament when there is what some grammarians call that simple condition. There are times when the word may actually have the significance of since. Not saying it always has or must have, but there are many times when it has that color to it. There are various classes of conditional statements that are made in the Greek New Testament. I'm going to zero in on this one. For example, let me just back up a little. There is an if that means if, and I'm assuming this to be true, you do something, then this will happen. The one before us is very carefully chosen. And let me paraphrase the full force of the if, which certainly would not have been lost on the people to whom it was written. If, and it is assumed that you may, not that you will, for only time will tell, if you confess and believe, you shall be saved. This is the very same truth that we noted in verses when I was dealing with that passage in Deuteronomy. Paul is saying, you may. I want you to understand this. And I would to God that all the hyper-Calvinistic brethren would get the force of what Paul is saying. Because even the mood of a verb is inspired of the Holy Ghost. And when Paul uses what's called here the subjunctive mood, it is to give it the subjunctive force. And the subjunctive force is, yes, you may believe. Now, that comes over in English as if he's saying, I'm giving you permission to believe. That's not, again, an accurate representation. What he's saying is, look, listen to me. Here is a simple conditional statement with the necessary consequence. If, and I'm assuming not that you will do so, but I'm assuming that you may do so. If you will confess and believe, then here is an absolute certainty. You shall be saved. I've been talking about predestination. I've been talking about election. I've been talking about the divine will. I've been talking about the sovereignty of God. And I know your brain is going to be perplexed. And you're going to have this question and that question and the other question. But let me boil it all down to the simple essentials. If you may come to Christ, confessing Him as Lord, abandoning hope in yourself, confiding your soul to Him with all your heart. If with your heart you believe on Christ, you shall be saved. That's what Paul is saying here.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.